Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Ask you if you would to turn your Bibles to the book of James, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, and also verse number 10. And then also I invite your attention to 2 Kings 5, 1 through 4, verses 8 through 10. And when you have those scriptures, if you would not mind resting on your feet as we look at these scriptures. Again, James 4, 6 through 8 in the 10th verse, and also 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4, verses 8 through 10. In James it says, but he giveth more grace. Everybody say more grace.
More grace.
Ooh, thank God for more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 4, verses 8 through 10. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Everybody said he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. We're going to skip to verse number 8, and we'll backfill this later on. And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Eternal God, we are grateful and thankful to you for the gathering. We thank you for those that have pressed their way out, Lord, in a day like this, Lord. I thank you, God, for those that have your way as these, Lord, have made it, Lord, their business to, Lord, tune in, God. Let your word, Lord, begin to move upon them even right now. Convict, convince, and convert the hearer today, Lord. And, Lord, when everything is said and done, if there is any that have never, Lord Jesus, been saved, literally like the Bible said, let them come to know you today in the power and might of your Holy Spirit. Let them repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, when all these things are said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, I'd like to invite your attention back to the 10th verse of that 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I like to leave this thought with you. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? God bless you. You may be seated. When people want something bad enough, they'll go to any lengths to obtain it. For instance, drug addicts. They'll do whatever it takes to get their drug of choice, fentanyl, whether it be crack, cocaine. Whatever it is, they'll go and do whatever needs to be done. Alcoholics, you see them, they hang around those juice joints, as we call them, trying to get a drink. And then we have those smokers. And this is hilarious to me, because now people, if they can't bum a cigarette off you, they're going to go into the store and they have what they call Lucy's and buy one cigarette. And then we have those who are addicted to pornography. They spend all day at a screen looking, fulfilling the lust of their flesh and the lust of their eyes. You see, they just can't wait to get their next fix. They want it so bad, and their mindset is whatever it takes to get it, they're willing to do it. I've been told, and you've probably heard this, if you want something bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. You'll pay the price. Now, with that understanding, to some degree, maybe you can get a hold of what I'm trying to say pertaining to our thought. How bad do you want it? Allow me then to share with you some accounts in the Bible of people who wanted something so bad. Somebody say, so bad. So bad. They were willing to do whatever it takes to receive it, whether it be a healing, deliverance, or even the Holy Ghost. Ask yourself, how bad do you want it? One of those individuals who we'll be talking about happens to be a man by the name of Nehemiah, who wanted something real bad. It was a healing. And Naaman was a great man, but he had a problem. Sometimes we have problems. We don't like to face them. We don't like to acknowledge them. But Naaman had a problem, and he knew what it was. He was a leper. Somebody said he was a leper. There are a lot of great people in the world today that have problems. Some realize it and some don't. There are also a lot of great people in the church who have problems too. T-O-O. That's right. Church folk have problems. Well, the first step to getting help is realizing you need God's help. My help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. But the first step is to realize that we need God's help to meet that need. How many of you know he will meet that need? He will meet and supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Naaman was about to find out that in order to receive his healing, it required absolute obedience to the instruction given to him by the man of God. Now, if you would, I'd like to go back into this account. And so we can kind of really look and see what's going on here. How did we arrive to this man by the name of Naaman? And what was going to be his plight as we go through this account? Now, Naaman, again, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master. In other words, his master held him at a high esteem. And we'll look at this and you'll see how this manifested itself. His master thought that he was an honorable man. Why? Because God used him to deliver Syria.
and he was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. He had a problem. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I want to say this. No matter where you are, when you raise your children right and they get in the presence of other people that may not believe like they do, that light will continue to shine bright and God can use them wherever they are. This young lady was brought out of her homeland. Now she's a slave, but I want you to watch and see what she does. She is going to minister to Naaman's wife. Verse 3 says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. In other words, I wish your husband could be there. Because if he was there, he would be healed. For he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. It was Naaman. He got a good earful, and he went back and told his boss, the king. His king said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to send you along with these items. 10 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And when you go to the king, I want you to let him know you're going to give him this letter. And when he reads it, he'll recognize that I really esteem you highly. Because I'm sending him to you so you can have your prophet heal him. Well, we find Naaman goes, he gives the letter to the king. And when the king of Assyria reads it, he begins to say, who am I? Am I God that I can kill or give life? He said, the only reason why the king of Syria did this is to quarrel with me. In other words, to make war with me, because I can't do that. And then this is when we find out in the 8th verse, the word gets back to the prophet Elijah, because the king, when he heard that, he rent his clothes. And verse 8 says, and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. I want you to get this picture. Here he is. He's going to go to the man of God, go to his house, uninvited now, and he's going to want him to come out to talk to him. Follow me. And Elijah sent a messenger to him. He didn't even come out his door. He didn't even take time to let him feel important. Because there's another thing that we'll see. Naaman had a problem. Somebody said he had a problem. And we said that it was what? Come on, talk back to me. This is interactive preaching. He had leprosy. But that was one problem. But there was an underlying problem. When we go back in James, it talked about humbling yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, Naaman was full of pride. He thought that he was such a much. He thought that all of the pomp and all of this would be given to him because of who he was. Elijah knocked him down a couple pegs, and he didn't even come to the door. He sent his messenger to him, and this is what he said. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Somebody say, how bad do you want it? You see, he had to want it bad enough to recognize that number two, the problem was pride. How many of you know that pride will cause a man to fall? And I'm not being gender-based, woman or man. If you are filled with pride, you will cause your demise. And so we see right here, he is not willing to humble himself. The Bible lets us know that he gets mad. And he begins to talk about two rivers that are there in his homeland. They're beautiful rivers, clean rivers. He said, but you want me to go to the dirty, stinky, nasty Jordan. How many of you know that that water wouldn't have anything to do with his healing? It was God's way of humbling him. You see, today many people are striving to do things their way. That reminds me of this song that Frank Sinatra wrote some years ago, very popular, I Did It My Way. And that's exactly the attitude that Naaman had. He wanted to do it his way. The leprous commander expected the prophet Elijah to come wave his hand over him, say some words, and voila, the leprosy would be gone. But Elijah didn't even come to the door. Again, he just sent his servant to tell Naaman to dip seven times into the muddy Jordan River. He was livid. He was hot. He was outraged. Naaman decided to head back home, leprosy and all. See, that's when you know you're full of pride. How many times have I seen in this time of ministry people come down to this altar, bring something, and right before they turn around and go back to the seat, they take it back with them? How many times have I seen people allow their pride not to cause them to break down before God and cry out, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But we allow our pride to stop us. Naaman decided, I'm going back to the house. Leprosy and all. But fortunately, some of his servants came to him and said, now, master, let me ask you this question. If he would have not told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? Yeah. He said, well, you don't have anything to lose. Why don't you give God's way a chance? See, God wants somebody to try his way. Your way is not working. Hello, let's be real. How's it working out for you? How's it working out for you? You handling your problem. He says, try it God's way. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, we all have our own ideas about how God ought to work things out in our lives. Let's be real. But how many of you know your ways are not God's way, nor your thoughts his thoughts? How much better to remain sensitive to his leading and doing it his way? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm telling you, your way is not getting it. Don't decide ahead of time how God will answer your prayers. Please, God don't need your help. He doesn't need your 2 cents. Stop trying to figure it out and let God work it out. The Bible, it is indeed full of accounts where people come to this place where they have to see, how bad do you really want it? There's another account, and we know in is pertaining to the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho. That's in Joshua, the 6th chapter. And you know that the city was shut up straightway because the children of Israel were there. And God had told him something, and I'll read that exactly how it is so you can see. That once it was noise abroad that the children of Israel were there, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given you thy land. I have given you thy hand in Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. And you know the account. But I'm trying to let you see that sometimes when you want something bad enough, you have to do what's required. What's required in Naaman was to follow detailed instructions because he wanted a healing. In this case, it is victory. What do they have to do to receive the victory? Follow the instructions. He told Joshua, for 6 days, once a day, march around the walls. On the 7th day, you'll march around the walls 7 times. Now, then he said, but before you do this, know that you will be in silence. Somebody say silence. That would have messed a lot of us up. Right then and there. Because he said, now during this time frame, you can't say a word. You can't speak. You can't do anything. But on that 7th day, and when the trumpets blow, I want you to shout. And guess what? You'll have the victory. The walls came down. And then there's another account in the Bible. If you would, please turn to the book of Mark. And I do understand that there are more accounts than this. But in Mark 10, 46 through 52, another account of how bad do you want it? Well, when you want it this bad, your faith kicks in. Somebody say faith. Faith will bring you to the place where you'll receive your healing. And in Mark 10, 46, and this is what it says. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Now, many of you are aware of this account. What's happening here is Jesus is about to come to an area where it is noised abroad. Jesus is in the town. Jesus is about to come through. And blind Bartimaeus was already set up to beg because that's what he did. That's who he was. He was a beggar. But now he hears the word that Jesus is about to come through. And the Bible said as he's sitting there, all of a sudden is now known Jesus is near. He opens up his mouth and he says, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Those that were standing by said, shh, shh, hush your fuss. The Bible said the more that they tried to calm him down, the more that they tried to silence him, the louder he got. Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Then the Bible said this. Jesus called for him. Now, you see, there are people who are going to stop you from trying to come to church, but they won't come to church. They're going to stop you from trying to live for God because they don't want to live for God. You've got to turn a deaf ear to those people. Just like blind Bartimaeus, he did just what Jesus said. He said, come. The very first thing blind Bartimaeus did was took his beggar's cloak and cast it down. What did that signify? I'm done. I'm through with that lifestyle. And he's coming to Jesus. Jesus asked him this question. What will thou that I should do for thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Remember I told you it took measure of faith? You see, faith is what caused this to happen. The Bible says in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. You see, how bad do you want it? It takes faith in receiving that healing. Now, last but not least, I want to share with you, and I want you to make sure that you're clear on this. I said, how bad do you want it? The Holy Ghost is not an it. It's the Spirit of the living God. But I just want you to put it in the right context. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the Spirit of God to dwell in you? The Bible said that if we do not have the Spirit of God, we are none of His. And I know that's a hard saying, but I didn't write it. That was the book that said it. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How bad do you want the Spirit of God? If you chronicle the book of Acts, in particularly the second chapter, you find out how that took place. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. Somebody said all the house.
All the house.
If you're in this house and you have that desire to surrender all, to submit to Him, and all of the house, they were filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You see, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, how bad do you want it? There are things that you want from God. I have no earthly idea. I don't live with you. God hasn't given me insight to your need. But how bad do you want it? You see, somebody that wants something bad enough, they're willing to give up any and everything for it. They won't hold on. They'll let it go. Are you here today? Are you willing to let go of that thing that's had you bound for so long so you can get freedom? Don't forget these three. Naaman, it took him to obey the detailed instructions. Don't forget, the Jordan River had nothing to do with his healing. It was all about obedience. And notice again, he said, I want you to go and wash in the Jordan. I want you to dip in there seven times. Anybody ever wonder why seven times? Just maybe, I don't know. Maybe because that pride was so deep, it took him seven times to just relinquish it. Maybe that first time came up, looked at himself, see, I knew it. Then all of a sudden he remembered, but he said seven times. How bad do you want it? The children of Israel wanted victory over Jericho. They had to do what God said. Be quiet. God wants somebody to be quiet when you're going through this. Don't tell everybody about it. Don't noise it abroad. Just hush. And then that day when I tell you to shout, you can shout the victory. Why? Because now you know that's the time. Or like blind Bartimaeus, you've heard about Jesus. But now you want an encounter with him. That's what blind Bartimaeus wanted. Because he knew if he could encounter Jesus, there would be healing. All I know is you're sitting here live and in living color. And you that are on live stream, I've given to you today, how bad do you want it? A rhetorical question. But please, sir, ma'am, answer it. Can I get you all to stand? Sometimes we want something or we say we want something. But I've got to ask you, how bad do you want it? There's some people's digits you need to lose because they don't mean you no good. There's some relationships that you're involved in that if you continue, they will cause you heartache and pain. There are some in our viewing audience, and I'm talking to you now, YouTube, Facebook, and Spotify. You say you want out, but how bad do you want it? With every head bowed and all eyes closed, I just want you to take a moment and answer the question. You know what it is you need. You know what it is that you're petitioning God for. But the question on the floor is, how bad do you want it? If you would, come down to the altar. It's open. It's never been shut. It's for those that are willing to say, Lord, here I am, just as I am. I do want something from you. And I want it bad enough that I'm ready to put pride aside. I'm not concerned who's looking. I'm not concerned about what they will say. All I know is I need you, Lord. I need you every moment, every hour, in every second. Are you here today? Maybe there's somebody here and you have need of healing. Again, we saw where faith is going to be key. All it takes is a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, but just use what you've got. Muster up a little faith and say, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, to be healed. Are you here? I want you to, right where you are, pray with me as I pray for these that are at the altar and believe God with me that whatever the needs are, the Lord can and will meet and supply those needs.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.